Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Well, my name is McCarl. You might have seen me in a movie called Sling Blade. And there are these fellers, one named Chris, the other named Shane. They got a little show on the internet. It's called the Rock Paper Podcast. Promotes things such as local talent, acoustic shows, local bands, a comedian or two, where you can find them, what they do. They've had bands like Clockwork. They had Jimmy Griffin of the El Monstero. And that fella from The Urge, Steve Ewan, I reckon was his name. But you ought to check them out. If you're a local talent yourself, feel free to hit them up at rockpaperpodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter. I'm sure they'd love to have you, and we love to hear from you. And don't forget to comment on their page as well. Tell them what you think of them. They're a couple awesome fellas, and they're good at what they do. That's all for now. This is Carl from Sling Blade signing out.
Hi, this is Ben Miller.
I'm Doug DeSherry.
And Scott Leeper.
We are the Ben Miller Band, and this is the Rock Paper Podcast with Chris and Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock. Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 21, 22, which one are we on?
I think it's two.
22, I don't even know. 22, my name is Chris Bemeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Oh, it's starting good. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, go to rockpaperpodcast.com, check out all the sweet episodes. This week, we have with us Ben, Doug, and Scott of the Ben Miller Band. They have invited us into their green room here at the old rock house. Guys, thanks for coming hang out. Yeah, it's a good time. So you guys, just about, 2 months ago, had the new album, Any Way, Shape, or Form, come out. I was listening to it on the way down. I really enjoyed, and maybe it's just my speakers in my car, but, the kick and a lot of the songs are just gnarly. So what kind of went into writing that record? Because you guys have a very distinct style of music, instrument-wise and everything, so... Hear feedback on my speakers here. I think that's all. Sorry. So let's just kind of talk about the album here, since it's new. Kind of, what was the process of writing that?
We did a lot more pre-production on this album, which was really, really cool. We started in the abandoned house next to Ben's house. We ran power over there and invited our producer down from Nashville to come back to Joplin, because he's from our hometown of Joplin. So we did some band practices in there and messed around with the songs. And then when we got in the studio, we just played them a lot. I think we started getting good takes around the 30th time we would play it. Yeah. And by then we just knew them inside and out. And we knew them 5 or 6 different ways, because we do this. Okay, well, we'll throw the second part now after the third chorus. Okay, let's try this and try that.
Yeah, gotcha. As I was listening, there's a couple songs that... Do you take a lot of, when you're writing lyrics, personal things to it? I know especially, like songs King Kong, about, the media kind of putting you guys into, a gimmicky way, but is that something true that you guys kind of have come across in terms of,
Yeah, we had a bad review. Well, not a bad review. We had a good review in Europe, but it was, just really, really weird. It was all about appearance, kind of.
Yeah.
It's just, I just felt that, they're being really lazy about the band and not putting their due diligence in to really get to the core of what we actually were. So I was, so it was sort of like a rebuttal to and a refutal of that.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Like I said, I really enjoyed the album. I was just jamming it out on the way down here. And you guys, was it last summer you guys opened up for ZZ Top?
Yeah, we've opened up for them,
Was it a couple dates? That's...
Yeah, we did, four tours altogether?
We've done two in Europe, and at least two in the States, maybe three?
Yeah, so we've done
two.
Two? Okay. A lot of
How, was there a different approach to, you know, opening up for ZZ Top compared to your other shows? Because I'm sure it was, I mean, did you approach it differently, or is it still just like... Because I know a lot of what they're saying, you guys just killed it and just
put
on a great show.
They were a little bit, these shows were a little bit more planned out because we only have 40 minutes.
Okay.
And so there's not a lot of banter between the songs and, you know, and goofing around with each other. It's like we want to get as much material in these people's ears as we can. And so we did similar sets. I think we'd throw a curveball every now and then, but, you know, just get it out as fast as we can.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be, I mean, exciting and an amazing opportunity. I mean, ZZ Top's a pretty good band, I mean, as an understatement, you know, so that's incredible. You guys are on a tour now. Now, how long does that tour go?
This is the first one.
Okay.
Of a three-week tour.
Okay, awesome. Now, do you guys have anything planned after that in terms of more tours, or is it...
Disneyland?
I hear the best time to go to Disneyland is during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
So, just a heads up, if time comes around.
We're going to, you know, spend time at home during the holidays and continue to tour during the rest of the year, and then we'll jump back on a ZZ tour next year.
Oh, wow.
And there's talks of maybe Blackberry Smoke.
Oh, wow.
Got some West Coast stuff going on in January and February.
Yep.
Yeah, it's... saw you guys got announced for the Stagecoach in April.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal, and that's a good lineup.
Really great lineup. Yeah, Merle Haggard.
Yeah, it's got just like one of my favorites is on there too. John Moreland. He's a great singer songwriter from Tulsa area, and but he's there, and it's just it's exciting to see some of my more independent favorites making. They're making the rounds and getting more recognition.
Yeah,
so it's
good to see. Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's kind of disheartening when you don't see that happen, but then when it does, it's just like, all right, you know, people are recognizing what's going on.
Yeah,
it's cool. You don't have to move to LA anymore.
Right.
You know, you don't have to move to LA or New York to get discovered. You can just keep doing what you're doing and work hard and
Well, and it seems like, too, it's even harder now with all the music acts, you know, to try and even going out there, you probably have just as good a chance staying around as you do going out there. I mean, maybe there's the bigger labels or whatever out there, but yeah, if you're, you know, able
to
just work
your butt gigs,
off.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you guys kind of get formed? Because, like I said, you guys are a little more unique in terms of your guys' talents. It's not you're just a guitar player, bass player, drummer, you know, so did you guys kind of just accidentally come together and it just meshes, say, hey, let's start, because
we all tripped.
Just all walked like right into each other. Like,
yeah, literally. Wham!
It was sort of open mic nights that I was running in the area down in southwest Missouri. And I think that's probably why we have such weird instrumentations, because we just bring out whatever stuff to just jam with whoever was around.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever worked, we kept doing for the next week, and it was a really organic process where it just eventually wound up being like, hey, we're a band. We've been a band for a while.
Yeah.
We didn't have to have any meetings or put ads in papers for different positions or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like I don't know if the term is like a strike of lightning, because, like I said, because you guys' your skills are so varied, you know, it's the odds of finding, you know, three guys that enjoy probably the same style and can...
I think we all enjoy different styles, which is very, very, but we all enjoy, I would hate to say authentic music, but, you know, just music that people, musicians who are playing instruments, you know, and I think we're all really excited about a lot of different aspects of music, which is why we've ended up where everybody plays so many different types of instruments, because, you know, Scott's not just a bass player or just a drummer, he's a musician, you know, he's a phenomenal singer. And Ben's learning new instruments all the time, and so am I, too. So it's just like, whatever we get excited about. Like, if I hear a sound that somebody does, you know, I just heard the Chris Thiele's band, what are they called? The Nickel Creek, and just his chucks on the mandolin. I was like, that's fucking awesome. And so, like, I've just been, like, busting my ass on mandolin lately because it's exciting, you know?
Right, and it doesn't, you know, you guys aren't handcuffed into a certain sound because you have so many different variety of instruments that you can bring to the table that makes, like I said, the album just was rocking. And I enjoyed it, like, just because it is almost like a breath of fresh air because of, like, and I don't want to put you guys in the category of, like, what country music is now, because I know you guys are not specifically country, you're different, but, like, country now seems a lot more where it's going poppy, and it's like you have to cover these topics when you're writing songs. And, like, with you guys, it seemed like a breath of fresh air because you guys seem like it's a genuine musicianship, and you guys aren't, like, out to, well, we just want to fit the mold of this so we can make money and be successful. You guys are really genuine, it sounds like, in what you do, and I can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, like, I think that comes from, like, that organic thing of it starting, you know, in a way that wasn't a concept that we had, like, we're going to be this kind of band, this is the kind of instrumentation we're going to have. Mm-hmm. It's really just a lot of trial and error, and, you know, I think putting our hearts in the right place, and kind of, but by that I mean just, like, thinking about the songs, what they need, rather than, you know, what we think people want to buy.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I think that it's... People will like what you like if you're lucky.
Yeah.
I think that we've gotten pretty lucky.
Well, I think a lot of times, too, it's if you put out a good product, it doesn't have to fit a mold. If it's good, people are going to find it. And I think that's the biggest sign of success, is that when you can stick to your guns and not try and go and do what whoever's doing, you know.
Yeah.
That's a lot of credit on you guys' side. You know?
I think people respond to the fact that, like, you guys are staying true to yourselves and not, you know, I think eventually all those, there's a lot of that stuff kind of fades out after time because, you know, it just, it served its purpose here, but it's like, but for in order to last in the business, I think, you know, you have to stick to yourself and what you guys want to do as a band, and people respond to that, I think, like,
yeah, I think so too. And that's not to say that we won't change, and, you know, I mean, I think that we've always changed, and, you know, from year to year, you can notice a difference, you know, between what we used to sound like, what we sound like now.
Yeah.
But I think that's still, as long as you have, you know, the priorities right of making music that sounds good and that makes sense to you and it's, you know, that you feel, then it's okay to change into whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, keeping those priorities straight.
Right. Yeah. Now, you guys are from Joplin, right? Is that correct? So, because I know you guys did kind of a benefit during when the tornado hit. How did that... Were you guys there when that whole thing hit, or were you guys out? What was the situation with when the Joplin tornado kind of went on?
We were up in Kansas playing a little festival up by Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend called me. She's like, man, the skies are getting really dark. I was like, well, that's pretty bad. You could probably get the dogs and go downstairs.
Yeah.
And, I started looking on the radar on my phone, and I was like, wow, that was looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then I started to see the news come in of, you know, the hospital's been hit.
Yeah.
People are definitely not okay. And, it was a really, really scary time. We cut our set short, and I tailed it back. I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I mean, it was...
I could imagine. I remember watching, like, the Weather Channel, like, some of the key... And you're just like... It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, the amount.
My mom, well, all the cell phone towers went down.
Right.
So my mom plugged in an old rotary phone, but there's no power, so it wouldn't ring.
Yeah.
So she just sat there, and every now and then she'd just pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those times, it was me calling the house phone.
Oh, wow.
And so she called, and, you know, I got a hold of her, and they were okay.
Yeah.
And they had gotten a hold of my brother, and his house was destroyed with him in the basement. But everybody was okay.
Yeah.
And then when I got home and I went and peeked in their window and they were fine. And then to try to get to my brother's house, the street was just...
Yeah.
Where is the street? You know, there's cars upside down in it. Like, it looked like apocalypse.
That's got to be one of the biggest, like, most surreal moments. Because, I mean, you could watch it on TV and say, wow, you could... You know, they show pictures before and after, but actually living there, it's got to be unbelievable to be like, what the hell?
Disorienting.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, everything's different now, especially, like, over there on 20th Street.
Yeah.
Like, and they just barely got the high school open, and it's been 3 years?
Yeah.
3 years rebuilding the high school, and they got it open.
Yeah.
I think
they
built a really big-ass basement.
Right, yeah. Well, with good reason, but yeah, yeah, it was really cool too to see everybody start to come together, because that's one of the, when you really kind of see, like, I guess, what is like the human spirit or whatever it is, you know, people that come together and say, despite whatever it is.
We had St. Louis cops patrolling our neighborhood, and he stopped me and, where do you live? I live right there. Okay, just make sure nobody's looting, you know.
Yeah.
We had St. Louis and Columbia cops and people from all over.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, really cool that you guys then were able to kind of, you know, find a way to help out too, because I know it gets probably to a point where, you know, there's a safety issue where it's like, okay, well, you can't go in there and just start, you know, trying to, you know, so finding a way to, you know, put forth a benefit and help out is really cool, and I'm sure being from there meant a lot to the community, you know?
I mean, right away I knew we wanted to do something to help out, and, you know, we play music, so that was the obvious thing.
Right.
And honestly, it was just great to see everybody again. Like, we put on a show, and we're just, like, to see everybody that, you know, you don't know if everybody made it or how, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty powerful little show to do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you guys, excuse me, you guys put the vinyl out too for the Joplin Relief?
Yeah, we put a vinyl out, and we've given $4,000 to a local music store that got destroyed.
Oh, nice.
And we're about to make another donation coming up before too long to Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. I was really curious, because I was looking at it and I saw that you guys, you know, being from there, it had to be just incredibly powerful to experience, and kind of, even if you weren't directly there, you still are affected because of family and things like that, so that's nuts.
I remember watching that Extreme Home Makeover on, like, their last episode that they did down there, and, like, seeing some of the footage they had, and how they came in and tried to help them. I think they built like 7 houses in 7 days or something, whatever it was.
We played for that thing too. We went down there and played for all the workers.
Yeah.
My buddy, his house was the skateboard or surfer beach house or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my
nice
place.
Oh,
wow.
Very cool. Yeah.
So you guys have toured, not just in the U.S., but you guys have gone overseas too, right?
Yeah.
Are you able to see like a difference between, I guess, is there a, I don't want to say culture shock, but is there a difference between touring over there compared to here in terms of just in general, or is it
they talk all funny and stuff, you know?
Touring, I think, is way different, because they're, you know, going between countries sometimes is a little sketchy. Like, we tried to get into Switzerland, and apparently we didn't have the right papers to prove that we were coming in there with merchandise, and so they didn't want to let us in. And so our tour manager, who's from Europe, he's from the UK, but lives in Denmark, he was able to sort of talk us out of getting turned back.
Right.
And so there's issues like that is definitely different than touring in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I know hotels are quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Hotels here, you can pretty much just, like, drive away from a show and, like, look on the side of the road or check the internet and find an empty room.
Yeah.
But there, it seems more like you better have a reservation, know where you're going, and be prepared.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite place that you went over there that you...
Utrecht is my favorite. We've been there twice, and it's just beautiful. And it's like... It's, unless you have to drive a car, that is hell. Trying to get to the club was so hard, but, like,
it's
cobblestone everywhere. And watch out for bikes, they will run your ass over. And just cool little shops, and everybody speaks English, so it's real easy to get around, and there's no, like, animosity towards Americans.
Right.
And, you know, Amsterdam's a little bit more of, like, a party city, and Utrecht is, like, right next to it, and it's not really known for, like...
Yeah.
It's not just, like, everybody's completely wasted out of their mind, you know? Like,
the neighbor's like, quiet down over there.
Yeah. And this canal is, like, all through the city, and so there's shops up above, and then there's shops underneath the street, and so you go down on the canal, there's shops right there, too.
I'd love to go over. I've always wanted to go to, like, Japan. I hear that would be just really cool.
Oh, man.
Go check. Yeah, I mean, if you guys ever want to go, just let me know. I'll be here.
Cool, man.
Drop me in there, yeah.
I like, you guys do a lot of the stuff on YouTube, like recording little videos, and, like, I like, so you get to see a lot of your European stops and then, like, included in your videos, and that's fun to see, like, some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Scott's the cameraman.
Yeah,
he does a real good job on those photos and videos.
Yeah. What else we...
Do you guys have a find that the presence online is just almost as important as
Online like, presence?
I mean, like, in terms of, like,
oh, yeah.
keeping update. I mean...
Well, and if you really, really get after it, like, you don't need any backup help. You don't need a record label. You don't need...
Right.
Like, we have some friends back home, and they're just on it and just selling themselves online. And just every day, a new video of them in their house performing a song or
yeah.
a picture of them, you know, just... It's just kind of neat to see, you know, what somebody's doing.
Yeah. Well, I know that's, I mean, we've talked
and
about
it. And I like it. You know, I like
yeah.
to be up. And, you know, even for the Grammys, if you get on Twitter for the Grammys, you can see a picture backstage of
yeah.
so-and-so, you know, with doing this. And people
yeah.
are into that shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you feel, because we've talked to a couple people who, and I totally can kind of see where it's, like, taking away the mystery of, like, I guess, the rock band or the movie star, you know, because you know exactly what they're doing all the time. And, you know, there's no mystery behind of like going to see a band necessarily because you know exactly. You can go on YouTube and see
yeah.
videos. Like, I guess there's kind of a double-edged sword because it's.
Well, I think stuff. Some people, yeah, they try to create this image and that's fun, you know. But like,
yeah.
you just got to know that they're just performing. That's a performance. Like, you got to
yeah.
know that's not them.
Yeah.
You know. So if you see them as a real person, I mean, I don't see any harm in that because I
yeah.
don't really believe any. Any
right.
of that stuff either.
Yeah, as long as they don't leak any nude photos, you know, it's in the cloud. So I'm curious how, in terms of musicianships, how you guys have, are you able to just pick up instruments and just kind of, do you just learn them? I mean, is it something that's just, you know, do you have any kind of training in terms of certain things like trombone, stuff like that? Have you guys ever
trombone?
Is okay. I just didn't know if it was something you guys had background in, or if you're, because I know people who just pick up something and they're like, okay, and they just play it phenomenal, like. I hate you because you're just you can just pick up anything and jam out. You know, do you guys have a? You know, are there certain instruments that you're actually
kind of? I think I can get the basics of almost any instrument down, like enough to like just like get through a song.
Yeah.
You know, but you can always get better. You know, like
right.
I don't think I'm like super badass at any of the instruments I play.
Yeah.
You know, you can always get better. But yeah, you got to practice them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, that's awesome. I know my buddy who played drum in college, and he would just be somebody who'd be like, he'd spin a guitar around, he's left handed, and he'd just play, and he doesn't play guitar, he just could play. I'm like, how do you guys just pick up stuff and just. I'm sitting here, I've been playing for like 4 or 5 years, I'm like, I suck at guitar. And he's like, oh, I'm just awesome.
Yeah.
It's weird to like, to transpose from like one instrument to another, because if I really need to focus and like get a chord in my head, I'm thinking this. I'm visualizing trombone slide.
Yeah.
All the time. Like
yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, I should do this run on guitar. I'm like, how would I do that on trombone? A, C, D. Okay, and then like I have to figure it out on guitar, you know?
Yeah.
I've always got to visualize the fretboard in my head.
Fretboard.
Yeah.
You did that with harmonica too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, this relates to this, here's this. I made symbols for them. Because I don't have any schooling, any like, I didn't learn,
yeah.
you know, I just kind of taught myself and had to sort of work out a language to be able to describe to myself. So I could remember it, you know, like
right.
And so instead of musical notes, I'd have shapes that were like that kind of meant the notes that I knew
yeah.
on a fretboard, and then I just transpose that into the different instruments I try to learn.
Now, when you guys are writing like in the album or writing a new song, even do you guys kind of have a go-to starting instrument that you start with, or just like you do you just kind of jam? An instrument just say kind of build off that
guitar or like sometimes it'd be the slide guitar or the standard tune guitar. I just mess around the standard tune
yeah.
guitar. You can do some more melodic things with but lately I've been doing the Scarbox. It's just super simple
yeah.
and you know there's so few things that you can do on it that it kind of opens up a lot of stuff in a weird way
yeah
and so that's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have a ton of instruments that are just, and some are kind of a little out of the ordinary too, aren't they? I mean, do you guys just kind of, I was telling Shane, it's like sometimes it looks like you guys are like the MacGyver of music, like you guys can just take something and just turn it into an instrument, it's like,
yeah.
make it work, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's, is it just something you guys accidentally kind of come across, or is it something you saw somebody else do? Like, I'm just going to...
Just sort of like,
just kind of...
Well, I mean, the electronic spoons.
A little bit of both, I
yeah.
think, you know, like... I've seen somebody with the electric washboard,
yeah.
so I was like, well, let's try and do that, and then we took that, and of course, my style is it's completely different than his, and then since we saw that, you know, and then Ben invented the electric spoons.
Yeah.
And that was because we couldn't mic them, right? I mean, I remember trying to do live shows with regular spoons,
And it was just like, well, this isn't coming across the microphone well enough.
Yeah.
We need to figure out something.
I remember seeing...
transpose the old idea onto the new.
Yeah.
I remember seeing, like, the Wilders, I think, had a spoon guy and tried to put a mic on it. And it was just like, you know, that's just not happening.
Yeah.
I've described you guys to several people trying to spread the word, and like, and I talk about the spoons and how like how crazy it is to me, like, because you guys run that through like guitar pedals, right? Like,
well, technically spoon pedals, but yeah.
Yeah, spoon pedals. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, with pedals.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's so you come up with all kinds of different sounds that you wouldn't really expect out of a,
pair
of spoons, and it's a I don't know, it's really interesting to see all that.
The only thing, I mean, I love, like, if you go to a bluegrass festival, you hear somebody with actual spoons, and then the spoon man, even, you like, there's so many sounds you can get out of acoustic spoons, and you kind of lose that with the electric spoons, but you add, there's so many, like, spacey, crazy noises, like, once you start adding a bunch of pedals, too, you know.
You guys, so I've seen you guys, I mean, you've mentioned washboard and spoons and trombone and Scott's bass, washtub bass. And you mentioned mandolin that for the new record. They've been trying to. Is there anything else you guys introduced for the new record that bring in different sound or?
The new record. Well, 23 Skidoo has a lot of things happening. That was, I mean, that was definitely a different style for us.
Right.
I'll say, how did that one come about? Because like I said, I was listening to it, and I'm like, this song is totally, it caught me off guard, but I loved it because it was just something, it almost sounded like more, I don't say traditional, but it's not, it's, yeah, definitely not the same from the other songs on the album, and I really enjoyed it. Like, is
I almost played ukulele on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it just sounds more like a...
When we perform that song live, Doug plays four, is that when we plays four?
Yeah,
he plays four different instruments on that song.
Wow. God, I can't even. I'm not even good at playing one, let alone four. Like,
not at the same time.
Not at the
but
same. Here.
I switch out.
One of those ones that like the drums are just play, all plays like five or six different instruments at the same time.
Yeah.
It should be a one man band. Right?
The guy from Mary Poppins with the drum on his back, dude. I want a set like that for sure.
You can recruit it in there, you know.
Yeah.
Sweet, but yeah, I know. Like I said, the 23 Skidoo was just when I heard it, I'm like, it's probably my favorite song. You should listen to because it sounded so traditional and. I enjoyed it. I don't know what it was about it, but it was something that was like, it was just, it seemed a little more, I don't want to say simple, but just something that was just, I don't know, I liked it.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but it was awesome. It sounded very good, and I wanted to, when I got here with Shane, I was like, there's two songs, because the King Kong was one that kind of caught me, and then the 23, I liked the, I think it was Ghost, too.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, too.
I've been really liking Ghost lately.
Yeah.
Ghost and Life on Wheels is...
I mean, it's a really... easy album to listen through too. I know a lot of sometimes there's albums that you're like, okay, there's two or three songs.
You skip that one.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like this one, I got to the end of it like, wow, it just kind of flew by, and it's just because of just jamming it out. It was really good. So it was enjoyable. I'll check out, you guys have another album before that, right, that came
mm-hmm.
out? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Heavy Load. If you remember on that. And then before that we did a double disc called One Tone and Two Tone. It's not available anymore. Is that a print?
Oh.
Gotcha.
A
lot of songs on there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was definitely. I mean, I can't say I listened to. I listened to a lot of Yo Gabba Gabba and Fresh Beat Band because I have a 2-year-old son.
Oh, okay. I was like, I know Yo Gabba Gabba from somewhere.
Yeah. So you know, I try and listen to some different stuff. But, you know,
that's
it's
just jamming stuff, man.
Hey, they got some cool. I'm gonna go see them live. I told Shane on in November.
How old? You have a child?
Yeah, I have a son who's gonna be 3 in January, and then we just had a daughter who just turned a month old. So.
Have you checked out the They Might Be Giants kids albums?
No.
They're awesome. Like I got it for my niece when she was a little kid, and they're 1, 2, 3, Here Come the Numbers or whatever is like really badass, well written songs and kind of like some.
Yeah,
cool insight to like the zero representation of nothing. You know, it's like,
well, I think
we're teaching that to kids. You know?
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's crazy the stuff that's out there. Like Yo Gabba Gabba is really like, I guess they get a lot of like pop culture people. Like I think Biz Markie's in there. I mean, they get all these different people. They're like, okay, I didn't really think they had anything to do with the kids show, but you know, that's my music right now is because I can listen to the Fresh Beat Band all the time having a 2-year-old son, but. I don't know where it came from. Because I don't listen to a whole lot of country or bluegrass or anything like that. So it was kind of different for me to listen to it and be able to enjoy it, not because it's bad music, but just because it's just something I haven't really taken a chance to listen to. I really enjoyed it, so I'll have to check out your guys' other stuff too, because it's just enjoyable.
Yeah.
I can't say it'll pass Fresh Free Band, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, I know you guys got food coming here soon.
Some good barbecue here at the old Rock House.
Yeah. This is the first green room I've ever been in, so I'm
It's not nearly as cool as you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I like the free water. It's pretty cool.
There's water and beer. That's always good.
Yeah, we got a TV.
We got a sweet-ass TV.
Yeah, you can get on some free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I like the password. Zero.
You're going to tell all your listeners
that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, don't say the password.
Yeah,
that's very similar to my luggage password, though.
Oh, yeah. We better not do that, but it... Probably it's like the one password you don't ever want to use.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's your credit card number?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's your social security number too, right? Yeah. Kind of a type stuff. Well, I'll let you guys get out and get ready to get some food and get ready to jam tonight. But
yeah,
I really appreciate you guys coming on. Shane, do you have anything? So we're going to play definitely that 23 Skidoo at the end of the podcast so we can jam out. Don't adjust that. It's my favorite. Probably favorite song from the album.
BenMillerBand.com for all your tickets and tour dates and and videos and everything else.
Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and we don't have our Tumblr account. I don't even know what the front Tumblr is.
Our MySpace is going crazy.
Oh yeah, MySpace is huge.
Yeah, you got the Zanga where you got like the old.
You know what? That's where you can find the Ton 1 and Ton 2 stuff. Probably it's probably still on MySpace.
I don't think they've gotten rid of any of the stuff that like from when it was huge. Yeah. Just my brother's band that was like in high school. I'll still find their music. I'm like, oh my god, this is great. Or anything, you know,
it's crazy. It's like a graveyard.
Yeah.
It's weird if you go over there because they try to like revitalize it. And people are like, I'm gonna stay with Facebook.
Nice try, MySpace.
You
got
had
it, and you lost.
It's gone. It's gone now. What some upcoming dates for you guys?
We're getting ready to start a tour. Like I said, this is the first one on the tour. Mm-hmm. Go to the website. We've got a new app called Bands in Town. You can follow us. If we come within like your specifying distance of where you are, it's going to notify you where we're going to be. But we're going to be in Chicago tomorrow, and we're going to be Columbus, Ohio, and Bowling Green, Ohio, and all over North Carolina and South Carolina. Am I doing pretty good?
Mississippi
and Atlanta, Georgia, not New Orleans, and Birmingham, Alabama.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
All over the place. So, yeah.
Good deal. Well, again, it's BenMillerBand.com, right? And check out all the... I mean, probably just Google Ben Miller Band. You'll find all the need to get the stuff. But, definitely check out the album. And guys, thanks again for coming on. And
thanks for talking to us.
It's been fun. Has this been your first podcast? We try and do is if it's their first podcast, we say you can't do anymore and just lock
them.
I guess we can't do anymore. That's cool. Well, I guess we'll still run the episode. It's cool.
We're actually the first podcast we did told us that we couldn't do it anymore, so don't.
Oh,
we're kind of cheating on them.
So. We'll keep on down though. We'll go film them. Cool. Well, thanks guys for coming on. It was great talking to you, and I hope you guys have an awesome show, and I'm sure you will. So
yeah,
be good.
Thank you so much.
Break a leg, as they say, like when you go to like do a play or something. Go break a leg, guys. Alright. Well, that is it, Ben Miller Band, guys. This is Rock Paper Podcast. Rap. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Oh, I guess I could find them. They're probably online and they're out living lives like I'm out living mine. The names and the places, dates and the faces of all the acquaintances which one I maintain. Oh, I guess we'll never see no more of the people that we knew before. Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Oh, we're quiet into our minds. That everyone we've ever met, and even those we've not met yet, they're filming little stories called their lives. Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Whatever happened?
yes, I couldn't find them. They're probably online and they're out living lives like I'm out living mine. The names and the places, dates and the faces of all these acquaintances, which one I maintain. Well, I guess we'll never see no more of the people that we knew before. Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Oh, this world is quite the place. Someone who so long ago you've met, they're half a world away from you. They're rising in the morning due to see that rising sun that you once did. Happened to all the people that we used to know? Whatever happened to all the people that we used to know? Oh, I guess I could find them. They're probably online and they're out living lives like I'm out living mine. The names and the places, the dates and the faces of all these acquaintances, which one I maintain? Will I guess we'll never see no the sun is coming up, and I love you. Ooh, yes, I do. Oh, I truly do. Oh.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.